No, we love John. Ah, 3 o'clock ground.
Ah!
So Dodgers beat the Giants last night 7-2. Got to go to the game. They force game 5 in Frisco tomorrow night. Wind was not really a factor last night. It was the night before. It was in game 3, but it wasn't last night. It
I have
was
a new
breezy.
Theory.
It wasn't
I have a new theory.
Windy. It wasn't windy.
That wind in game 3, I think it was an act of God, okay?
Yep.
But I also think maybe it was a way to prepare the Dodgers for the experience of playing at Oracle Park in game 5.
Okay, the
it's
way
cold
I looked
there.
At that game.
It's cold there.
Dave Roberts always uses the golf analogy. I actually talked about this yesterday.
Okay.
He says, you know, everybody wants to hit the driver.
Yep.
Nobody wants to hit a 5-iron.
Yep.
And that's what the Dodgers, that's the mistake they made in game 3, is everybody hit the driver despite the wind. And it, granted,
that's a good
you
point.
Know, they scalded the baseball. Gavin Lux's ball
Chris
in the
Taylor.
Ninth inning on any other night would have been a home run. But if it's that windy, play your irons. Single
yeah.
here, double there.
That's a good point.
Pass the baton, as they say.
I also do think there was a gust of wind as Brandon Crawford jumped to catch that ball from Mookie Betts.
I think there was, too.
There's no way he could jump that high.
That was the game breaker. That was the game breaker. Last night, you know, Walker Buehler, 3 days rest. He wanted the baseball. He gave them exactly what they wanted.
That was big for him. He hadn't been great before that. The last 3 or 4 starts, he'd kind of been scuffling.
He gave them 13 outs. And allowed just 3 hits and 1 earned run. He gave them what they needed when it mattered the most. And then the bullpen has just become automatic for the Dodgers.
Oh, I'm gonna knock on wood as you say that.
No, I feel really good about this bullpen.
You just
Joe Kelly in
that
critical situation. Probably.
That was a big moment.
Probably the highest, and he did it in the wild card game
yep.
too after 4 1/3
yep.
innings. He is your guy to bring in about that time, 4th inning, 5th inning, who can get you out of a jam. He's become really reliable. Gratterall has been great. Vesia had a good night last night. Trinan is Trinan. They didn't need Kenley, so they threw Phil Bickford in the ninth, but a really good bullpen performance. And the Dodgers got the lead early. And
can you go back to Gratterall for just a second?
Yeah, sure.
Gratterall, did you see that he threw 103 miles an hour?
I saw 103.
And it looked like he was just soft tossing it. It was just like, hey, I'm going to throw this. And it was 103.
I don't
no
remember
effort.
103.
Fuego.
Do you remember 100? I don't remember seeing 103 this year.
So I don't know about this year, but I saw the Dodgers, or somebody posted the top like 5 Dodger pitch velocities.
Yep.
And Jonathan Broxton was first with like 103.8 or something like that.
Fuego.
Jonathan Broxton.
Wow.
Remember Jonathan Broxton.
Yeah, but 103 with no effort whatsoever.
He was
whatsoever.
Great except against the Cardinals.
Oh, jeez.
Now, here's something that the Dodgers still need, you know, and this is critical tomorrow night. Dodgers left the bases loaded. They left runners at second and third. They were only 1 for 11 with runners in scoring position.
That's awful.
Not very clutchy at all. Got the lead,
it's
kept the lead.
Against a good defense, too. I mean,
San Francisco's defense is for real. For real.
Wait,
who made that catch on the Chris Seager or the Chris Taylor ball in left field?
That was Lamont Wade Jr.
Yeah, Lamont Wade Jr. Steven Duggar, they put in as a defensive replacement in center field. He's been really good, made a big catch the other night. And, of course, Brandon Crawford has been great defensively. He had that double play in game 1, which was just a beautiful play, and robbed Mookie in game 3. Here's the thing about the game. There has not been a lead change in any games in this series.
I can't
believe
that.
The team that has scored once first has won every game.
That's crazy. I mean, we now have a big enough sample size to say that's crazy, right? It's not even usually in some part of a game there's going to be a lead change, whether it's, you know, 1 run, 2. But in 4 games, there's never been 1 lead change?
Not 1 lead change.
Wow.
Well, think about it. The first game, they won 4-0.
Yeah.
Then they were up big in the second game because they won 9-2.
Then they lose 1-0.
Then they lose 1. And then they were big last night, and so they won 7-2. So,
still pretty amazing.
It is amazing. It is absolutely amazing.
Greg, are you a little torn with Crawford because he's a UCLA guy?
No. No, I've lost all allegiances when you've
Got
gone
it.
To the Giants.
Got it.
Come on. He plays for the evil, hated bike-stealing Giants. Yeah. Do you know the bike-stealing part?
What's the bike-stealing?
No.
So probably 15 years ago.
Yeah.
The Giants, Sean Estes was a pitcher for the Giants.
Uh-huh.
And he got busted stealing somebody's bike. And so we just added bike stealing to the evil hated part and added bike stealing.
I get that.
Giants.
Yeah, bike stealing is – that's
memorable.
That's memorable. And it's also awful, okay? Because I went to – in college, we were a bike campus. Like, we, you know, you can't really drive around campus. You have to ride your bike or walk.
Yes.
And so stealing somebody's bike is really putting them in a bad spot. And especially if you're in a city like San Francisco, like, that's stealing somebody's mode of transportation. That's how they get to work. That's like how they, you know, like they don't have a car. They don't want to Uber. Like you steal somebody's bike, like you're just really messing with their life now. It's not like you get a lot of money for it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you steal somebody's car. I mean, I can see where the financial upside is there. I'm not justifying, but, you know. Bike's,
you know,
a couple hundred bucks,
about,
maybe?
William Shatner.
Yeah. Did he tweet you?
I just got a tweet from somebody, David SFV93.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Who says that the Woody Show, Woody on the Woody Show, do you know that show?
Nope.
It's in the morning on 98.7.
Okay.
All caps. Woody Show literally said the exact same thing about William Shatner today, LOL. Two different radio stations, two different hosts.
Dang.
William Shatner, awful person.
Yeah, that's called a reputation.
Yeah, that is a reputation. No question about it.
Well, we got two, so that must be true now.
It's got to be true.
Yeah.
It's got to be true.
What if I just Google that?
William Shatner, bad person?
Or jerk, or, you know, let's see.
Yeah, take a shot at it. You know, one thing I wanted to mention.
If it's confirmed on the Google, then you're right.
Yeah. Oh, if Google has it, it's for sure right.
Yeah.
By the way, Raiders GM Mike Mayock has made a statement.
I'm fired.
About John Gruden. Here's what he says. Remember, Gruden hired him. He was like a TV guy who Gruden hired to be the GM. He said, a lot going on in this building. And in this franchise, the last several days, the way I grew up, the Raiders always stood for diversity. They had the first Latino quarterback, Tom Flores. He also became the second Latino head coach. The first African-American head coach was Art Shell. The first female CEO was Amy Trask. Obviously, all of that was under Al Davis's watch. This week, his son, Mark Davis, I think, had a tough time. He had a tough week. He had to gather facts and do his due diligence. And since the day I took this job almost 3 years ago, what Mr. Davis has preached has been three things. It's been diversity, social justice, and domestic violence. So when we go into drafts, if there's a guy with any history with any of these types of things, I'm in Mr. Davis's office trying to show him what's going on, whether or not we've done our due diligence on that guy, and whether or not that person should be in this building. He's been consistent with his messaging, and in regards to the John Gruden situation, we all respect his decisions, and we're going to move ahead accordingly.
Hmm.
Now, does this tank the Raiders season, by the way?
You know, Mike, Carl Nassib asked for a mental health day today.
Did he?
Asked for the day off, yep.
He should get it.
Oh, they gave it to him. He said he was just, you know, needed to process what just happened with Gruden. I mean, he had homophobic emails, and Carl Nassib is the first openly gay NFL player who had previously enjoyed a level of support from John Gruden, and that must feel quite betraying at this moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I know they obviously had a lot hanging over them. They lost to the Bears on Sunday. That was an upset loss, I guess. It's going to take a few weeks to get through here. Plus, it's he was, you know, you hired him to be Zeus. I mean, you pay him that much money. He's the face of your franchise. He's this big giant persona. You can't just remove Zeus.
One of the things that Gruden was on a rampage about was Michael Sam being drafted by the St. Louis Cardinals at that point. And Jeff Fisher, who was the head coach, has responded to that. He says, Michael, in other words, they suggested he was, Gruden suggested he was only drafted as some sort of social message. Here's what Jeff Fisher said today. Michael Sam was the SEC co-defense player of the year in 2013, and we selected him in the 2014 NFL draft based on his defensive production and pass rushing skill set. As a head coach for over 20 years, we drafted or didn't draft players based on a variety of qualities. Their sexual orientation would never and should never play into the decision-making process. So he has also denied that he was pressured into drafting Michael Sam. I think he suggested that the league pressured him into doing it. Michael Sam didn't make it, but certainly SEC co-defensive player of the year was worth a guy being drafted, right?
Of course. And I think it's every one of those emails, every one of those shots that he took, I mean, they're just like what you assume people are saying behind closed doors and sort of hope that you never hear it, but when you do hear it, it's just like, mm-hmm. Yep.
What else was said in those emails?
Are we ever
going to hear about them?
I think we will now, because even though that was kind of I do think the Astros players will ever be punished. I mean, it's the same kind of thing. You make a deal as part of, if you give cooperation, but now the Players Association has now asked for those emails, and they say they want to see them to know if racism was part of hiring decisions.
Can you imagine 750,000 emails? We only know the Gruden ones. We don't know any of the rest of them.
The investigation was literally into toxic workplace culture.
Yep.
So you have to assume there's quite a bit of toxicity there.
Yeah, it's got to be brutal.
Here's the issue, though. This is the owners who made this deal. Like, okay, and this is kind of the problem with investigations into situations like this, where you require some level of cooperation. Like, the Redskins are a franchise in the NFL, therefore they can't just completely go rogue. They're a franchisee. It's like the best way to explain it, it's like a McDonald's. You can't just decide I'm not putting the sauce on the Big Mac. I'm going to put I'm put ketchup on.
Right.
You can't do that. You're a franchisee. You got to do what the franchise
said. Got to do exactly what McDonald's does.
Mm-hmm. So I think with this one, like, the Redskins had to cooperate on some level. But turning over company emails, cell phone records, etc., there's got to be some level of I don't know. They pushed back on that. You can't get everything. You can't have everything. So this was like the limits.
I think the NFLPA deserves everything.
Yeah, although
after seeing a sample of what was written, I think they deserve to see everything. Yeah. They deserve to know if somebody was hired or fired based on their race or based on personality or based on something other than
Mace,
the quality
the,
of their
the
character.
Here's the larger point, okay? These are the owners in the NFL who wanted this investigation, said that the Redskins had to do it, but are also simultaneously going, please don't check my emails.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
People in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. I mean, this
gotta be.
You know, nobody wants anybody. Do you want somebody to go through all your emails? I mean, I think you did, right? You had the experience?
Yes, I did.
How was that?
It was brutal. It was brutal. Yeah, I went through a case where
but
there was
you
discovery
had
and it
somewhat
was brutal.
Of a choice in that you the lawsuit you were involved in. You filed it, right?
That is correct.
So a lot of times people don't like to the deciding factor of whether somebody files a lawsuit is because
I don't want a bunch of stuff to come out.
I don't want discovery. I don't want everyone going through all my emails. I don't want everyone going through all my text messages.
Yeah, it's a painful process.
Yeah.
Painful process. All right, coming up next for you, a couple of things. First of all, we've been Bergman, why have we not taken any calls today? It's a celebration day.
Because
we
haven't needed
them.
Honestly, I love taking phone calls. I actually really do now.
Yeah.
But we haven't needed them. I think
the
show's
been
good.
Google,
well, it's not a matter of needing. It's a matter of letting people celebrate.
No, yeah. I agree. I just think that today was a good day that we just didn't have to have them on today. We can have some if you'd like, though.
You actually said off the air you think I'm in a good mood today, a better mood today.
I think you've been in a great mood today. Is that a bad thing?
Well, that means yesterday I wasn't in a good mood?
No, you were fine.
I was fine. Today I'm in a good mood.
Oh, jeez. You are.
Right,
I swear. You're
hey,
Mace.
Let me tell you.
Just
remember I told you what I was
going
to Google?
Them.
I was going to Google William Shatner and say, wow. All
a lot
you got to
do.
Oh, my God. The search results on this are long and lengthy. Many Reddit posts. There's a story called The Shady Side of William Shatner.
Yep.
Quora, how big of a jerk is William Shatner? Lots of entries. Examples of why William Shatner's castmates had a hard time with him. Leonard Nimoy funeral. What William Shatner dubbed Captain Jerk for missing him. Wow.
Wow.
There's
wow.
a lot here.
Yeah, no, I told you right off the bat. Bad guy.
Wow.
I think they should have left him in space.
Dang.
All right, coming up next for you. Let's take a few calls. 877-710-ESPN. Dodgers versus Giants tomorrow night, Game 5. Maybe you were at the game last night. What's your confidence level going into game five? What is the key for tomorrow night's game? How are you generally feeling about the lineup? Because tomorrow night we're likely to see – there's actually an interesting wrinkle in the lineup. We'll bring that up, too, coming up next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
877-710-ESPN. And last night, I got to go to the game. Jorge passed. Bergman passed. It's a great night out there. The press credentials for me are like down the left field line behind the foul pole.
Don't they know that you're Steve Mason, host of the Mason
Ireland
show?
Yeah,
kind
of a big deal. No,
I mean, you're on the board at Staples Center now.
Yeah, it's true.
Back
it's true.
Where you belong, Mace.
What do you think of the picture, by the way? There's a lot of talk about the picture of me on the board.
You always kind of look like that.
I've got the glasses. I've got the vest.
The half smile.
Do you like the vest, smile. Momo?
I think I like it.
The Marty McFly look? Yeah?
Yeah.
It's not Marty McFly.
You know what you look like? I mean, you look like you're trying to be kind of hipster.
Oh, God.
See, that's exactly what it is.
The glasses and the vest.
Thank you. We're
in
agreement.
But you're not hipster. You're not a hipster.
First of all, I wear my glasses all the time now.
I like your glasses.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with them.
It's a look, though.
And the puffy vest is in, man. Everybody's wearing puffy vests right now.
But you're not.
But you can't take a promotional photo wearing sweatpants or a ratty old
hoodie.
USC shirt. Hoodie.
I mean, no, you can't, but you should.
No.
You know, that's who he is, though. Like, these pictures should be who you are.
Oh, so I'm hoodie guy on the big screen
are
at
you
Staples
not,
Center?
Are you not hoodie guy in general?
I am hoodie and ball cap guy.
Right.
But you can't do that on a promotional thing on
who
the
says?
Video board because you look like a lousy
Oh,
you
slob. Were about to curse at. You were about to curse at me.
I think I would just go black polo. I think you should
sure.
just do black polo shirt, man.
Yeah.
I love the picture.
I like it.
I'm not changing the picture.
I mean, you look a little bit of like a hipster lumberjack.
You just get Travis's Fu Manchu and you're full lumberjack.
We got the walrus. We got the hipster lumberjack.
A hipster lumberjack. That is rough.
I mean, you got like the plaid shirt, right?
Yeah, plaid shirt.
I mean, there's your lumberjack. And then you got this like vest, this puffy vest.
Yep, stylish.
Does that keep you warm though?
No, it's a
so it's a style. It's not
it's
for warm.
It's a style. Yeah,
it's a half vest. Like it doesn't.
Prop.
Amanda said that he looks like he's sitting in the back of a Subaru eating like granola.
All right, let's get to some. By the way, a lot of complaints about your take on Ron Darling.
A lot of complaints. Was it a lot of complaints?
It was a lot of
at least
a
two.
Huge Rod Darling contingency out there.
I'm sure there's people all over saying, how dare you besmirch the name? Besmirch. Thank you, that word. That word
of
Ron Darling, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think he does a good job. But I get what you're saying, too. He's not necessarily a contemporary guy.
No.
Like, I love the fact that they grabbed Adam Wainwright from the mound at Dodger Stadium and put him right into the booth on Fox. And A.J. Pierzynski is the third guy in that booth, who also does a really good job. All right, so tomorrow night, game five. Last night, actually, we've got somebody who was at the game. I got to go to the game. There is no such thing as the Mason curse. Ha ha.
No, there
told
isn't.
You all along.
I actually believe you now, Mace.
Yeah, I'm
You've
good
done
luck.
Enough.
I'm good luck.
Agreed.
Let's go to Peter in L.A. Peter, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Doing well. How are you all?
Everything's great.
Pretty
best day ever.
Okay, so yesterday's game was a completely different vibe, and I think I pinpointed what it was.
Okay.
But besides the weather, because Momo, you hit it spot on, baseball gods were there to force a game five, and that's why that happened. So, hello?
Were you at game three, Peter?
Yes, I was at game three. I called you guys the day after.
Okay.
I told you guys that the energy was off that day, and the weather, it was cold. I think that's what it was. People were just cold.
Yeah. The other thing I think was it makes a difference when you've got a lead.
Well, that too. Because, I mean, they did put up runs up early. and it did get the crowd into it. But did you notice that game three was more like a regular season game in between innings where they would show like the Dodgers like interviews, and it's like a regular game, and it kind of brings down the mood. But yesterday they had like DJ mixing it in, and like it was more of a lively environment. Would you not agree?
I think that's a really good call, Peter. Yeah, I do. Thanks very much for calling. I do think it was a different vibe than we had in a 1-0 game. But, you know, a 1-0 game kind of has a vibe. It has kind of a downbeat, tense vibe.
Yeah.
You know, the tying run is at the plate every single at-bat.
I have a hard time with those games.
Last night, people were rocking last night.
There was also hits. Lots of
them. Yeah, we had hits. We scored. That makes a difference when you actually score.
Yeah, you cheer when there are
hits.
What
I really hate are the extra inning games where you run out of pitchers or players, and then it kind of gets decided by whatever low leverage reliever is left gives up a hit.
Right.
That's what I hate. Like that game, when the 3-game series towards the end of the year, the Dodgers lost that extra inning game. You remember that? It was like they just threw out all their relievers.
That game was if you look back at that game, which was an
epic game.
Epic game. That's the one where Trey Turner made the play to Will Smith, and he isn't normally a first baseman and couldn't get to the bag, couldn't stretch. That game was basically for first place. It was the most dramatic game of the year. It's the most exciting regular season game of the year. And that's why we didn't wind up in a tie. Yeah, it almost came down to that game.
It really did. Because, the Giants, what was it, 10-9 in the regular season?
Yep.
That was it. I felt this the entire year. It feels like the Giants are one step ahead and the Dodgers have been chasing them all year. Doesn't it? They just have been out in front. The Dodgers have been trying to run them down the whole year. Even in that 3-game series where it looked like remember the Dodgers finally caught them?
Yep.
They finally caught them in the standings.
Got a half-game lead at one point.
Half-game lead, and then that extra inning game with a weird play at the end. But there's a lot of weird plays in that game. There was a lot of relievers used that I didn't even know were on the roster because there were like September call-ups. Remember?
Oh, that's right. Guys like Justin Brule threw.
Yeah, who's that? I've never seen that guy.
Like, somebody made their major league debut in that game for the Dodgers.
And they think they did okay, but it was by that time, it was like, this is really how the National League West is going to be decided. And the Giants, like, they always seem to win game one. They always seem to get ahead. And even in this series, they won game one, the Dodgers win game two. They win game three, the Dodgers win game four. They're still chasing them. There was only like a half a second there where they caught up to the Giants.
Yep.
They had a tiny little lead, but they've never felt like they've caught them all year. And now finally we get to two 109 win teams playing in game five to just go to the NLCS. It's awesome.
All right. Coming up next, we'll get some more of your calls, 877-710-ESPN. There was a lie today.
Ooh.
There was a lie, so if you think you know the lie of the day, 877-710-ESPN. We'll take like three shots at it because it's tough. We'll take three shots at it. We'll let everybody guess. If you happen to get it, you win a Mason and Ireland t-shirt. 877-710-ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Mason and Ireland, this is 710 ESPN. Is this thing on? Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Momo is in for John. Thanks a lot for being out there. Thanks a lot for listening. We appreciate you. Without you, we would not be able to do this stupid show every day.
I like this show.
I do too.
I listen to you guys when I'm not on. I like it.
Yeah, if I wasn't on, I would listen to the show.
Me too.
Yeah. All right, so lie of the day. We do this every day where, at least today, it's my lie.
Mm-hmm.
It is a tough one. We're going to let three people try.
Okay.
And then we will let Momo and Bergman and Jorge try a shot if these guys don't get it. Let's go to Brandon in L.A. Brandon, you're on 710. What's up?
What's going on, everyone? How y'all doing?
Everything is best day ever, man.
Amigo.
Good, glad to hear it. Listen, I think that you did not interview William Shatner twice.
Brandon?
I think that's a good guess.
You are absolutely right.
Woo!
I did not interview William Shatner twice.
Let me tell you what gave it away for me, though.
Yep.
When Momo decided that she was going to Google William Shatner, and then you started agreeing with everything that was in Google, I was like, he would have remembered that all that had he actually interviewed him, and that's what kind of sealed it for him right there.
Yep. There you go, Brandon. You nailed it, man. You get a Mason and Ireland t-shirt. Thanks a lot. How do you feel about the Dodgers tomorrow night?
Oh, man, I was at the game last night, and I was super stoked, and I'm feeling really good about tomorrow night. They saw Logan Webb in game one. They know what he can throw, and I think they're going to come prepared.
Awesome, man. I agree with you 100%. Brandon, thanks a lot for calling. Thanks for listening, man. We appreciate it.
That was a good guess.
It was a good guess. I had personal interactions with William Shatner, never interviewed him.
Yeah.
When I was doing the Snyder Show, Politically Incorrect, remember that show,
the Bill Maher show?
Yep. Shatner was on there. And Shatner was supposed to do my show afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And he refused and said, "It's only radio. I don't do radio."
Ooh.
So I never interviewed him because he said radio. He was too good for radio.
Yeah. There's a bunch of articles about how he doesn't sign autographs either.
Yeah, although I'll tell you, that's a common thing now. Like Bryan Cranston doesn't sign mm-hmm. autographs anymore.
I get that.
Because he signs something and immediately it winds up going on to eBay. So he'll do a selfie with anybody.
Yeah.
But he will not sign autographs because he doesn't want people to sell his stuff online.
Yeah, that's fair. I also think I also understand, like, you get, like, most people, when I see that, like, if I'm walking to a game or something, they go, "Hey," it's hard to recognize people with masks on now, but, like, sometimes you get recognized, right? You get recognized, right, Mace?
Yeah.
You know, and I don't mind stopping for selfies or whatever it is, but there are some times when, like, I'm actually really late. Actually, there's a lot of times when I'm late, and I'm running someplace.
Go figure.
Yeah, right. And I was actually early for your show. It was 3 minutes early.
Nice.
3 minutes early. I had to kick Travis and Sliwa out. Let's get out of here, guys. I'm early. But like when I'm late, I'm like, "Okay, can you do it really fast? I'm running."
Yeah, yeah.
I want to be a jerk, but I'm super late.
So apparently the afternoon show did a bit about me yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Have you heard this, Bergman?
I don't know. No.
Okay. No. Just
so
about
this
you?
Is from our friend Lou Riley. I don't know if it's a bit about me, but it's a bit that my name came up in.
Oh.
May, Sedano and Cap did a bit on narcissism yesterday with 9 questions to tell if you are a narcissist.
You might, like Jeff Foxworthy style?
Apparently, yeah.
You might be a narcissist if.
Yep.
They say none qualified, but all agreed that Mason was the station's obvious narcissist.
Ooh.
And that he would not only concur, but be proud of the fact that he's a narcissist.
I like that.
True? And the answer is, narcissism is my whole act here. That's
true.
What I do. I'm a professional. They pay me to be a narcissist.
Yeah.
Momo
Sedano
and I both,
and Cap absolutely nailed it.
Momo and I are both sitting there like, we're just going to be quiet until he answers the question.
Well, you guys agree, right?
Yeah, I mean.
How does Steve Mason screw in a light bulb? He holds a light bulb and the world revolves around him. Hey, I'll be here all week.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
literally,
is it an act,
week.
Though?
You think I'm just playing a narcissist on the radio?
Is it an act?
No, it's not an act. It's not an act. I'm not joking about any of this stuff. All right, coming up next for you, it's Game of Games. Whose game is it today?
I think it's your game.
It's my game. Okay, it's my game today. So far
in
the
month of
October, Momo, you can score because we're keeping track of guest hosts now. The score is Mason 2, Jorge 2, Bergman 1, Clinton Yates 1, Ireland and you scoreless. But you have a chance to win today and join the winning crowd that is coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Game of Games time. And here we go as we get ready for tomorrow night's Game 5, Dodgers versus Frisco up at Oracle Park. Julio Urias on the mound for the Dodgers versus Logan Webb, the Game 1 winner. Drama. We'll have it covered for you completely tomorrow. Make sure you're here. In the meantime, Game of Games in the month of October, Jorge has won twice. I've won twice. Bergman has won once. Clinton Yates has won once. Momo now has a chance to hit the board. And the game today is called the birthday game.
Ooh. Ooh.
So I will tell you somebody who is having a birthday this week, and I'll give you a fact. You tell me if I made it up or if it's real.
All right.
Here's number one. Sting. 69 this week. That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
69. Gordon Sumner, his real name, gained his nickname because he often wore black and yellow jumpers when he was performing, reminding people of a wasp, thus Sting. Is that fact or is that fiction, Momo?
Fact.
Momo says fact. Bergman.
I think that part is fiction.
Fiction. And Ahure.
Yeah, fiction.
Nope, it's absolutely true. Wore black and yellow jumpers and reminded people of a wasp. All right, number two. Don McLean turned 75 this week. Now, he wrote the legendary song, Bye-Bye, Miss American Pie. Drove the Chevy, did the
Makes
levee,
no
and the
sense.
Levee was dry.
Yeah.
He wrote his legendary song while he was at the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally in South Dakota in 1968. Is that fact or is that fiction, Bergman?
It's a lot of facts. I'm going to say fiction.
Fiction. Jorge.
I'm going to say fact.
Fact. Momo.
Fiction.
Fiction is the correct answer. Totally made it up. Although I have been to the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally my sister, where Juan's sister got married on a motorcycle there.
I got to stand up now. I got
a very classy affair. All right.
Are you serious?
Yeah, she absolutely. They got married at the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally
in
South Dakota.
That is pretty dope.
Number three, Gwen Stefani, 51.
Wow, good for her.
She and Blake Shelton have started their own alpaca farm in La Habra near Gwen's hometown of Fullerton. Is that fact or is that fiction, Jorge?
That's fiction.
Fiction. Momo.
Fact.
Fact.
Yeah,
Bergman.
With Momo. Fact.
I'm sorry, that's fiction.
Nope.
I kind of ended up
I live near the area, guys. Sorry.
Oh, that's true. You should know that. That's
totally
right,
sounds normal.
Yeah.
Good God.
That sounds
that
like
was made up. Yeah. All right.
All right, Jorge
number
and
four.
I.
Doesn't want an
okay, I got pressure
farm.
On me now. Okay.
Kevin Richardson from the Backstreet Boys turns 49 this week. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. One of his early jobs was as a ticket taker at the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum on Hollywood Boulevard. Is that fact or is that fiction, Momo?
Fact.
Fact. Bergman.
Yeah, it sounds like fact.
Fact. Jorge.
No way. Made up fiction.
Completely made up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Jorge,
that was a good one then, Mace. Good job.
That was good.
Number five, Simon Cowell, 61. Best known for his work on American Idol, and during season one of the show, he voted against Kelly, or he didn't vote for Kelly Clarkson to go on to Hollywood Week. Randy Jackson and Paula Abdul voted for her, obviously, and she ultimately won the contest. So he didn't vote for her to go to Hollywood Week. Bergman, is that fact or is that fiction?
Fact.
Fact. Jorge.
I'll say fact.
Fact. Momo.
I also think that it is fact. I think he thought she was not didn't have the look.
He loved her during the auditions, and she absolutely went through to Hollywood Week unanimously. You all missed that. Score, Momo 2,
I totally
Jorge
watched
2,
it.
Bergman 1. Number 6, uh-huh. Bruno Mars, 35
this week. I'm going
to sit
down ever since
week.
I stood up. I, you know.
Bruno Mars.
Yep, Bruno Mars, 35 this week.
Huh. Okay.
Leonard Nimoy appeared in one of his early videos because his manager was Nimoy's stepson. Is that fact or is that fiction, Bergman?
No, Jorge goes first.
Oh, Jorge goes first.
Fact.
Fact. Momo.
I'm going to say fact.
Fact. Bergman.
I need a point. Fiction.
I'm sorry. It is a fact. Yes.
Yeah.
Leonard Nimoy did appear in one of his early videos.
You fall behind and then you start playing the game.
Yeah.
And then it just, it's all over.
It's swag, baby.
Bergman, I think
swag.
You're done because this is the last question.
Then I am out.
All right, here we go.
We still have
Who's
a chance.
Who's ahead, me or
time.
Jorge?
Tied.
Are we
tied?
Tied.
Three.
Ooh, yeah. Pressure. Ooh, ever since I sat down again, I'm doing good.
Number 7, Matt Damon, the Big 5-0. He attended Harvard University and was a resident at Lowell House, class of 1992, although he left to take an acting role. Is that fact or is that fiction, Momo?
Fact.
Fact. Jorge, which way do you go?
I'm going fiction. No way.
Momo takes the point.
How do you like them apples?
He left Harvard to take an acting role in the movie Geronimo and never graduated from Harvard. Oh, so Momo takes the point. She is on the board for the month of October.
Oh, my God.
Momo.
Are you going to stand up? We're applauding.
No. I won when I sat
Standing
down.
Ovation.
Standing ovation.
I'll do the cabbage patch.
Momo doing the cabbage patch.
I should have had video on that.
Image,
we should have,
is
yeah.
an image. So tomorrow night.
I gotta
tomorrow
sit
show,
down.
By the
Clearly
way.
I got to sit down. Look, you guys saw me. Every time I sat down, I was right. Every time I stood up, I was wrong. So clearly, tomorrow during the game, I got to sit. I can't stand up at all.
Nope. That's
there you
true.
Go.
See, it all works together.
See?
The existentialism.
How these things work?
Keeps going.
dust off every superstition you've got. Like, for example, I went to Julio Urias bobblehead night, so I've got my Julio Urias bobblehead right now. I'm assuming that that is going to be good luck tomorrow night. Fair assumption, do you guys think?
I like that.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
My aunt used to watch Laker games with all of her bobbleheads. And, like, when somebody would score, she would, like, hit the bobblehead and it would, like, go.
Was there an order to the hitting of the bobblehead?
Well, like, when she needed a play, she'd always use the Kobe bobblehead. Right. Like, come on, let's go.
Like, it's voodoo. Like, Kobe's going to do it.
So tomorrow we'll be all over the game for you. By the way, the in Vegas, the game is virtually a toss-up.
Yeah.
Dodgers even odds and San Francisco minus 110, which means who's favored? I don't understand that one.
Okay, say that again. Dodgers even odds. That means you just it's a straight-up bet. It's like
straight
win
up
or
bet.
Lose. Yeah, there's no
I put
20,000
mythical dollars on the Dodgers.
And you get
straight 20, up.
Yeah, you get 20,000 back if you win.
That's even money.
Even money. And
the Giants are minus 110, which means you have to bet 110 to win 100. The Giants are slight favorites tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's right.
The Giants are slight favorites. And
very,
by the way,
very slight, though.
Oh, it just like razor-thin
margin.
Yeah,
10 cents.
Meanwhile, Boston versus Houston in the American League. The
Houston's
Astros are favored pretty considerably.
Can you imagine?
Minus 150, Boston won plus 130.
Can you imagine if the Dodgers win this? And they play the Astros in the World Series again?
Can you believe that?
All those home games at Dodger Stadium with the trash cans.
Oh.
But can it be somewhere neutral as a away game? Not in
Wait,
Houston.
Do we want them on a neutral site? No, we want to be able to boo and bang trash cans and all that stuff.
When we go away, we can't play in Houston.
How'd you like the White Sox accusing the Astros of stealing signs again? Dusty Baker was like, that's heavy, man. I don't know.
If Dusty Baker knew about it, he would shut it down.
Yeah, he would.
That doesn't mean he
totally
would know
would.
About it. But Dusty Baker's old school. I think Dusty Baker is an ethical guy.
Yeah.
If there was cheating going on, I think he would know.
And also, that's literally his job now is like, don't embarrass the franchise again.
Hey, and by the way, you know, despite 2017 and how much we hate the Astros, they have gone on to go to, I think, the last three American League Championship Series.
Yeah, let's just see if that edge is enough to get them through.
What's interesting is we are going to face, as long as we get by the Giants and the Braves, we're going to face either the team we lost to in 2017, the Astros, or the team we lost to in 2018,
yep.
The Red Sox.
Yep.
So no matter what, it would be a revenge series.
All these ghosts of Dodger past are out there too.
Oh, yeah.
Jock Peterson in Atlanta. Kike Hernandez in Boston.
See, I think there's something to all that stuff. Like, for example, Cody Bellinger, I just think has become a different guy in the playoffs because he remembers what it's like. Chris Taylor, different guy. I mean, those guys were scuffling. They were having a hard time.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they're on base. They're hitting the baseball. They're walking. They're stealing bases. Chris Taylor won the wild card game for us. Cody Bellinger, I think, reached base four times in game two. I mean, I think there's something to – I mean, actually something to having been there.
There's something to having been there, and I think there's something to understanding the focus, but also how to manage the moment.
Yes.
And the more you play in those situations, the better you get at it. Well, generally speaking, sometimes it spirals on you. But, you know, especially for a team that's finally won, and all those guys have won last year. They all left after last year. It wasn't. Like, they just got
It's like they learned how to win in the postseason.
And you always have that to draw from. Like,
yep.
You know, you always have, like, whenever I was in moment as an athlete or whatever it is.
Yep.
When you get these high-stress moments, I would always think back on times that I had success in those high-stress moments.
And you got it done.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for us.
All right.
Momo, sorry to cut you off.
That's okay.
That's it for Mason in Ireland. Thank
Good
you
show.
Very much for joining us. For John Ireland, for Momo. Producer Greg Bergman, associate producer Jorge Briones, and our whole crew. I'm Steve Mason. Good night, everybody.